I've got a story to read to you guys. So in the summer of 1805, a number of Native American chiefs gathered and met in council at Buffalo Creek, New York, to hear a presentation from a guy by the name of Mr. Cram, who was a missionary. So he was kind of bringing a Christian message from the Boston Missionary Society. After the sermon, a response was given by a chief named Red Jacket. He was one of the leading chiefs among the others, and he said this: "Brother, you say that there is but one way to worship and serve the Great Spirit. If there is but one religion, why do you white people differ so much about it? Why not all agree, as you can all read the book? Brother, we are told that you have been preaching to the white people in this place. These people are our neighbors. We are acquainted with them. We will wait a little while and see what effect your preaching has upon them. And if we find that it does them good, makes them honest and less disposed to cheat Indians, we will then consider again of what you have said." Interesting. People are watching. What if everyone waited to see if those people that were Christians walked out what they talked about? And what if those people that were looking waited to see before they made a decision? How many people do you think would accept our faith? How many of you would have accepted faith based on the observations of and the differences that are walked out versus what's talked about? So the hallmark of Christian life truly is integrity, how we walk what we talk, right? Isn't that what Chief Red Jacket wanted to see in the white people, if they were good, honest, and not given to cheating? They wanted to see it represented not only in what was said, but how it was followed through on. So Peter writes about how people are watching to see what kind of a difference our faith makes in other people's lives. And he says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." So what do people look for? What are people looking for out there? Well, that we are walking our walk, right? That we're living what we're believing, and that we're living a life of integrity. I mean, when I think about integrity, we don't necessarily slip into integrity, right? It's not like we go, whoops, gosh, it was integrous there. Wow. No, integrity is a choice that we have to make daily. If not moment by moment, we need to step into this place of having our walk, walking out our walk. And in Proverbs 28:6, this is such a value that it says that the better is the poor who walks in integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. Integrity is more important than riches. I want to pray really quick. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that as we dig into your word and as we look at scripture through this lens of integrity today, God, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, that you would just open the word to us. That as we look at these passages, that it will make an impact on our lives. And God, that as we leave this place, may we be different than when we came in. We love you, Lord. And this morning, we just submit ourselves to you and ask that you would teach us in all things. We love you and praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to just kind of hit three different things. I first want to tackle the meaning of integrity. And then I want to share with you the model of integrity and who that is, and I think we all kind of know who that is. But then I also want to talk about the manifestations of integrity. And so kind of hit those three areas. So to start with, integrity, the meaning of it, the integrity is to personal character what health is to the body, or what 20/20 vision is to our eyes. Integrity is to the personal character what health is to the body, or 20/20 vision is to the eyes. Integrity comes from the word integer, and if you are a math person, you understand what integer is. I got some whoop whoop from, you know, Courtney back there. I don't know any other people that are math people, but hey, that's great. I'm glad that you are. Integers, whole numbers, right? Yes, good. I read about it, so I know. I am not a math person, but it's whole. It's not a portion. It's not a piece of. It's a whole number. And so a person of integrity is whole. Their lives are put together. All right? People with integrity have nothing to hide. And this is something that when I think about it, it brings peace. When you are a person of integrity and you have nothing to hide, you sleep better at night. When your yeses are yes and your noes are noes, there is no reason to hold a secret, right? When you make a promise to somebody and you follow that through and you carry it out, you're not stressed out about worrying about how it's going to happen. But so often with integrity, when we're talking about things in the workplace or in life, we may overpromise ourselves. And so we're struggling and stressed out because we know we can't fully accomplish what we said that we would. And so then we have a hard time trying to catch up and to make things work and trying to make things happen. Or maybe we were dishonest in one way or another, and so we shared one thing, but that really truly wasn't what our intention was. And so we're not walking in integrity. Truly, as Solomon wrote, the one who lives with integrity lives securely. There's peace when it comes to walking in integrity. Maybe not peace around you, but peace in your heart. And so because somebody's living securely with that, they may say, you know, my character will match my confessions. Who I am on Sunday will be the same on Monday and Tuesday and Friday night. Ooh, man. Into Saturday, who I am is the same no matter what. So when we're talking about integrity today, which is a huge value, it's one of our core values as a church, it truly is that we are trying to walk out this idea of our yeses being yeses and our noes being noes. Throughout this series, we've been talking about the different values that we hold as a church, the main, most core values. We've talked about love being a core value, generosity and community and teamwork. And our final value that we hold true to is integrity. We're not always going to be perfect at this, so hear me, but we are going to really work at being excellent in it. And there is a difference, okay? And so understand that when we talk about integrity, we are people and we are fallible. We make mistakes. We drop the ball sometimes. But our hope and our heart is that we are walking in such a way that our yeses are yes and our noes are no. So who is this model of integrity that we can look to? You know, I was knowing that all of you were thinking Honest Abe, right? Abe Lincoln. No, I'm just kidding. The model of integrity truly is Jesus. And I know that when we come to church, the expectation is that the answer is always Jesus. And so, you know, you're like, okay, well, that's true. So the model of integrity is truly Christ. Jesus is the supreme model of integrity. He did what he said, and he said what he did. So much so, he lived his life in such a great level of integrity that even the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and even the leaders of the Jewish law looked and saw this integrity in him. And they were trying to trap him on some stuff, but they called it out. And I want to read that to you in Mark 12, verse 13 and 14. It says, later they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. We know that you're a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Now, they were trying to get him to trap him on words and saying, who do you pay taxes to? Who do you give money to? And he says, give to Caesar what Caesar's, right? But in this, they understand and acknowledge that he truly is a man of integrity. And not just the leaders of the Jewish law saw that he was a man of integrity, but also the Romans saw that he was a man of integrity. Even at the time of his crucifixion, on his trial, before Jesus went to the cross, he was before Pilate, and Pilate shared to all of the people, he goes, I find no basis for a charge against this man in Luke 23:4. I find no basis. He has done nothing wrong. He has walked out. He has done what he said he was going to do. There was no basis for his guilt. In other words, his behavior matches belief. His walk matched his talk. His character matched his confession. I want to say that again, and I want you to, if you're taking notes today, I want you to write that down. I want you to just look at this. His behavior matched his belief. His walk matched his talk. And his character matched his confession. And for these reasons, Peter writes this instruction for believers. And so, for the rest of this time, if you have your Bible, if you want to just turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to be looking at a bunch of different scriptures in this, because Peter talks about ways in which we are able to walk this life out. And so in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, he says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow his steps." As we look to Christ, we need to see that he is that ultimate example of integrity, and therefore, when we are studying, when we are reading through the Gospels, and we're looking at what it means to truly be integrous in our life, we can say, Jesus did it, so therefore, let's go for it. Let's do it like Jesus did it. Because the world is watching. The world is watching. And if the world is watching us, then truly we need to be watching Christ. We need to be looking at Christ. We should follow his example, and we should do what he has done. I don't know if you remember in the early 2000s, maybe even in the late 90s, way back, there were those rubber bands that you'd wear around your wrist, and they'd say WWJD, you know? It is pretty sad. No, I'm just kidding. I remember, I look at them now, and I laugh about it, because I think about WWJD, and I say, what would Jack do, my son? And chances are that he would jump off stairs and, have a lot of fun. And so I'm like, well, okay, WWJD, what would Jack do? Let's have some fun. But WWJD was something that was put out there to say, what would Jesus do, over and over? And many of us, I think, remember having those rubber bands on our wrists, maybe even giving them to other people, maybe even laughing at them, all sorts of things. But the truth of the matter is that we can look at this and think from an integrity standpoint, as we are walking, in any decision that we have to make, in any way, shape, or form that we have to live our lives with integrity, we can go, what would Jesus do? Okay? What would Jesus do if I agreed to sell this property for X amount of money, and I've written it down, I have said yes to the people that have agreed to it, and somebody else comes along and says, actually, I'll pay you $30,000 more for that property. Integrity would say, what would Jesus do about this? Would he go once he had agreed to this, do I go for this one or do I go for this? I'm going to go back to my original agreement because I've already, my word has already spoken. I've said yes to this, right? That's how we're going to do it. That's how we're going to live. WWJD, what would Jesus do? He is the model of integrity, and therefore, as we are walking our life out in being purposeful, with being integrous in all things, we need to be thinking, as we do these things, what would Jesus do? And let's go for it in that way. So, what would Jesus do? How does Peter talk to us about this? How do we really practice integrity on a daily basis? Well, let's look at this thing. In 1 Peter 2, verse 11, it talks this way. It says this, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." The first thing that we need to think about is that we need to stay away from tempting circumstances. When we're walking in integrity, we need to stay away from tempting circumstances. And I love how this talks about it. That stay away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. So what does this look like? when we're tempted by things. Guys, if you are tempted by an app that will lead you down a path of pornography, delete that app. Don't just leave it on your phone. If there is somebody that you know that it has, you're having an inappropriate texting conversation with, block that caller from your phone. Flee from it. If you're struggling and you're tempted with alcohol, you shouldn't be buying it. If you're struggling, seriously, hear me with this, because I am challenged with this on a daily basis. I love sugar. I am tempted with sugar. Seriously, it is a bad thing. I eat my stress. Okay? Some people drink their stress. Some people go into other kinds of addictions. Folks, I'll tell you, I eat my stress. And in that, because it's a temptation, do you think it's right for me to be eating sugar? No. So what do I need to do? I need to flee the grocery store. Amen. Don't go into the convenience store at the gas station. Do I walk it out all the time? No, I blow it. I blow it. I buy Skittles. But we need to flee those things. And I'm reminded of a story, and many of you have probably heard this, and I'm not sure if it's an actual true story or not, but I think that it is. Billy Graham, early on in his crusades and early on in his ministry, was coming back after one of his crusades, coming back to his hotel room, and in his hotel room there was a prostitute that had been left by the people in the area, and he saw this woman, and he shut the door and he ran away. He didn't go in there to try to save her. He didn't go in to have a conversation. He didn't wait around. He shut that door and he took off. He fled the temptation. He fled the situation. He continued to be a person of integrity. I want to encourage you today to stay away from tempting circumstances. Whatever that thing is that causes you to falter in your walk, run. Run. Run away from it. Because as you run away from that, you will continue to maintain that integrity, hold on to that, and you will sleep better, you will live better. And remember, and I struggle even to say this, but because there are those people that are seeing your convictions and you're seeing yourself falter, it is a serious act of judgment that is being placed on your life. However, when you're walking in integrity, you don't have to worry about that judgment. You don't have to worry. Also, another way that this manifests is in authoritative situations, show respect. Show respect. In verses 13 and 14 of chapter 2, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of the state or the officials that he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. Now I know that when I say this word, submit to all human authority, many of you in this day and age are going, yeah, but I really don't like the authority right now. And it doesn't matter who's been in authority and who is in authority. It is a struggle. And I think part of the fact that we live in a democracy makes it even harder at times because we can say, well, I didn't vote for the guy, so I don't have to do what he says. And it's a struggle to walk in that. But Peter lines this out. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. Honor those who do right. You know, I look at it this way, like a yield sign. What do you do at a yield sign? You wait to let the other guy go first. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to submit to the authorities. We need to wait and let the other person go before us. We're to submit to authority, not out of a sign of weakness. It's a sign of self-control. It's like confession day here. I'm talking about sugar and talk about my lead foot. I do deal with this idea of submitting to authority in that I have this cruising speed. No matter what, it's about 45 miles an hour. And it just kind of happens that I will be driving in a 30 mile an hour and find myself going 45. I will be driving in a 55 and I'll be finding that I'm going 45. I don't know why, but it's just like this cruising speed, it just is in my head. There's a song in there that's just playing and I'm just going 45. But at times once I realize that I'm going 45 and a 55, then I go to 75 because it's just the pedal goes further for some reason. I don't understand that. But I recognize that in these moments, what's happening is that I am not submitting to my authority. I am not submitting to those who govern over me. I'm saying, I got this. My way. I know what's best. I can handle it. You resonate with that? May we submit to the authority that God has placed over us. Because God has placed this. God has allowed those in leadership to be there. He allowed it. So may we respect that authority. May we honor that authority. May we submit to all human authority. And then another way that we have that manifestation of integrity is at work. We stand for what's right. Verse 18, you who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. Now, I just read about slaves and masters. Back in this day, in Peter's time, in Jesus' time, there were 60 million slaves. Okay? 60 million slaves. And it was not as the slaves were in the early American, in the early formation of America, those kinds of slaves. It wasn't that kind of a thing. A lot of times, the slaves were there because they were paying off a debt. They were in some other fashion. So I want to just kind of change up these ideas, change up these words, if you will let me. Instead of saying slave and master, say employee and employers. Okay? Not that as an employee you're a slave. Hear me now. I'm not saying that, but I want to just change this up so that we can get an idea from a modern-day vernacular of what this could look like. You who are employees must submit to your employers with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they're kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. As believers in Christ, our integrity goes to work with us. It manifests itself in the way we treat our boss, our client, and fellow employees. It also manifests itself in the way that we respond to the company's procedures and policies, to difficult and sometimes unjust assignments, and the workplace itself. I have to tell you that as lead pastor, I have a whole new understanding for policies and procedures. But when I was an employee, and I was looking at this as a youth pastor, I did not like forms. Forms to me were dumb. Policies and procedures were lame. I'm looking at this stuff and I'm going, why in the world do I have to fill out the purple form when I am trying to ask for reimbursement for funds? Can't I just say, hey, I spent, you know, why do I have to turn in a receipt for this or that or the other thing? Who cares? What's the big deal? I mean, I'm getting my work done. Isn't that what's important? Yeah, and there's a whole policy and a procedure that allows for accountability, that shows the church that there is integrity in this house, that as I've come into this place of lead pastor, I'm going, oh, now I get it. Now I get it. It's a bigger deal when we're walking out this thing. Any single one of you could come at any single time and say, how is the children's ministry holding, how are they being held accountable to their finances? How are they being held accountable to what's happening in their ministry? Are the leaders actually doing what they've said that they're doing? Yes, here's everything that can laid out to show you that the policies and procedures show you that they're doing what they're supposed to do. It's important. This is the stuff that as we walk this out, It allows for all of us to show you as the body that your leaders are being integrous, that we want to walk in integrity. You know, when in the wintertime I work I also volunteer at Purgatory, and I don't necessarily share right off the bat with the other people that are working up there that I'm a pastor. And so I let them just kind of, we're all just talking and hanging out and having a good time. And in these moments, as the manager of the guest services is asking us to do stuff, I'm volunteering, I'm going after it, I'm doing what I need to do and taking care of these different things. And it's funny that when we get into conversations, the other volunteers and stuff, they'll say, "So Mark, what do you do?" And then I'll say, "I'm a pastor." And they go, "No, beep," you know, and they say some weird word. And then they grab their face and they go, "Oh, beep, I just cussed you, beep, oh man, ah," you know, and they get in this weird moment. And I'm like, it's okay. What's really cool in these moments is being able to talk with these individuals, and they say to me, they go, "Mark, you don't act like a pastor. You're just acting like a person." And I go, "Well, that should be the same thing. We shouldn't act one way on the slopes as we are at the front gate. We need to be the same in all these places. We are being judged for our convictions. And as we are walking this out, let's understand that at work, we need to continue to stand for what's right. If we're being asked to do something by a boss and we say, 'Yes, I can do that,' we need to follow through. That's integrity. Finally, in this, how is it manifested? It's manifested through suffering as we seek God. Life is not always easy. Life is a struggle. Life is hard. And sometimes, and in those times especially, our integrity needs to be walked out. Right? Those are the times when it's easy to just say, "It's too hard, I'm just going to give up, I'm going to walk away, I'm just going to just forget all of that stuff, I'm just going to give in to this." But hear this in verse 19, "For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment." The greatest test of our integrity is how we respond to suffering. The greatest test. Because when things are good, it's easy to have integrity. When we don't have to make a bunch of promises, when life is easy, it's great. But when there's that struggle and we maybe overcommitted and we said something and now we have to back it up, or when we actually are called out for what we believe and persecuted for that. I think about the Christians in Afghanistan right now. It also is happening in China. It is happening around the world where Christians are persecuted and killed for their faith. And here it is. They are not, when confronted, going, "Yeah, I'm going to just praise Allah, whatever." They go, "No, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. He is my Messiah." They're killed for that. Could we stand up to that kind of integrity? When confronted at work, on the slopes, out playing, when confronted, "Hey, do you believe in that Jesus guy? What is Christianity all about anyway? Do you live for that? Do you stand for, do you believe that? Do you go, Jesus?" Or do you go, "No, here's what I believe"? Because the minute that we say that is the minute that we have to start living it out, isn't it? Because we're being watched. Not by spy cams. Just by the people that are around us. Like the chief, I want to see if your convictions are actually lived out in your life. "For God is pleased when conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment." I think that's the reason when we're walking through this, dealing with this, being strengthened in it, the suffering, I think that's why God at times will allow this stuff to happen, is so that we, in our integrity, in our faith, in our walk with God, the hard times is when it was strengthened and when we can grow in that. So during suffering, seek God. Look to him. Ask him for strength. Don't ask, why is this happening to me? Instead, ask, what are you trying to teach me? Be conscious of God in the moment. So I'd like to invite the worship team to come up as we finish today. I want to ask, where are you at with this integrity thing? Hear me, there's grace. I know that we're all going to fall short. Talks about that in Romans. We all blow it. We all mess up. We're not all going to be the model of integrity. Only Jesus can do that. But we can make a choice to be integrous every day, every moment. We can make the choice to stand up for what we believe. We can make the choice to have our yeses be yes and our noes be noes. And the hard thing for yes people is to say no at times. But we can do it. Yes, we can. We can do it. So how's your walk? I want to remind you, it's not an oops. We don't fall into integrity. We have to make that choice. So today, may your behavior match your belief. May your walk match your talk, and may your character match your confession. Would you stand with me? As I close in prayer, we'll worship a little bit more, and then y'all can check out these amazing booths and get involved in our church. Lord, help us walk out integrity. We know that there's a lot of people that are looking and seeing, are Christ followers real? Do they really believe what Jesus said? Are they willing to walk it out? May it be, Lord, that in this place, may we be a people of integrity. And may your light shine bright. Because we love. May your light shine bright because you are in our lives. May it be so bright that and true that people in their response say, I want what you have. You speak it, you live it, and it's transformational in your life. Jesus, may you be that light in all of us. We love you, Lord. Amen.